What are you hiding from? He stares at me, his expression turning wary. Then he reaches out and runs his fingers gently down my face, forcing my lids closed. Close your eyes. There's nothing to see out here. What? But then I feel his tongue gliding up my slit, and I gasp, my entire body tensing. Oh, God. He licks me up and down slowly, dragging his tongue up my pussy and over my clit, and then latches onto my nub, sucking it hard into his mouth. I arch my neck up, breathing hard as I watch him. He groans, swirling his tongue around me, and then tugging my clit out between his lips and going back for more, licking, sucking, and nibbling. The pulse between my legs throbs, and I feel warmth at my entrance as I get wetter and more ready for him. He pushes up one of my knees, opening me up and starts going at me harder and faster, more greedily. His tongue licks, his teeth grab and tease, and then he covers me with his mouth, sucking and working my clit until I cry out. Please, I moan. Ugh. He reaches up and clamps a hand over my mouth, still eating me, and I shoot my eyes up, seeing Trey right above me. I stop breathing for a second, my eyes widening. He stands right outside the rear passenger side door, calling to someone. Oh, shit. Damn, Trey, Mason says, smirking up at me and flicking out his tongue to lick me. Your girl's pussy is so tight. I pull away from his hand on my mouth. Shut up, I whisper. He licks and sucks me again. Thanks for letting me borrow her, man. And then he dives in, finally sliding his tongue inside me and penetrating. I suck in a breath, whimpering, and he covers my mouth again as he moves his tongue inside and works my clit with his other hand. I roll my hips, trying to meet him, trying to get deeper, as my breasts sway back and forth with the small movements. I grab the back of his neck, holding him to me, feeling the tingling where his tongue touches build and build, until every muscle in my body contracts so tightly it burns. Yes, I cry out behind his hand. My orgasm explodes, spreading up through my stomach and down my thighs, and I throw my head back, staring in horror at Trey and some guy standing right there above me. I slam both of my hands over Mason's on my mouth, moaning into them and hoping no one can hear me through the doors. My chest rises and falls, the incredible feeling racking through my body, up to my head and down to my feet. Mason lowers his hand, palming my breast before letting go. He rises up and leans over me, putting a hand on the door behind me to hold himself up as he unbuttons his jeans. My heart picks up pace again. His hard eyes stare down at me, filled with lust. Take off the thong, or I'm ripping it off. I glance up nervously, afraid of getting caught. What if the truck rocks? He reaches into the pocket on the back of the front seat and pulls out a condom, tearing it open with his teeth. He has condoms back here? I narrow my eyes, glaring up at him. He meets my stare and just laughs. Don't worry, you're the only girl I've had back here. Then why do you keep condoms in the back seat of your truck? Just in case? He reaches into his jeans and pulls out his cock, hard and ready, and I lose my breath, watching as he rolls the condom on. I put my hands on his chest, not sure if it's because I want to touch him or because I'm scared. I've only done this once, and it was 2 years ago. It was a mistake. But it feels like the first time again, and I'm nervous. He stops, looking at me. Take it off, he whispers. There's pleading in his eyes. I lick my lips, breathing hard and my pulse racing. I reach down slowly, a nervous shake to my body as I slide my panties off and let them drop to the floor. I want him. There's no harm in letting him feel me for just a little bit, right? I'll make him stop and take me somewhere else soon. Just for a minute, okay? I plead, reaching back up and caressing his chest. And then we have to stop. A smile curls a corner of his mouth as he lifts my knee, his thick cock pressing between my legs. Just for a minute, he promises, and then I'll stop. Thrusting his hips slow and steady, he reaches down and works his cock inside me. I groan, feeling myself stretch as he sinks into me, going deeper and deeper and burying himself to the hilt. Oh, fuck, he gasps, his face twisted in pain as he stills. Ryan. He breathes hard, lowering his body, my nipples brushing his chest. I shudder, savoring the feeling of his tip rubbing my spot, and without thinking, I bend my knees up more and spread my legs wider. Just for a minute. He kisses me, and I barely have time to adjust to him before he pulls out and thrusts back in, stretching me so good. Oh, God. The sounds of the movie play in the distance, and I hear the muffled voices of people not far off. But all I see is him, his lips hovering over mine, his breath warming my skin, his fucking that's getting harder and faster as he thrusts between my thighs. I look up, seeing his hand still gripping the door, the muscles in his arms bulging and tight. "Look at me," he whispers. I drop my eyes back down as I lick his piercing and hear him growl under his breath. The truck creaks with our movement, and I whimper, digging my fingers into his hips as he moves in and out of me. "The truck will rock," I say, worried. "We have to stop." But he just groans, fucking me harder. My breasts bounce back and forth, and I gasp at the pleasure of him filling me. I pull him deeper with every thrust, rolling my hips to fuck him back. "Mason," I beg, licking and biting his neck and feeling myself coming again. "It feels so good." He slides a hand under my ass and nestles in deeper, grunting as he fucks me rougher. I hear a noise underneath us, from the truck, and I cast a worried glance around. "Go slow," I plead. "The truck." But he growls and comes down, kissing and biting my lips. I slide my hands down, gripping his ass and keeping him close, and he thrusts his dick inside me again and again. "Yes, yes," I moan over and over, feeling another orgasm crest as I taunt him with quick little kisses. "Mason, is the minute over yet?"
"Almost, baby."
I hear the humor in his voice. His cock nudges me deep inside, and I cry out, breaking loose and coming as my pussy clenches around him, holding him too tight. "Oh, fuck," he groans, putting a hand over my mouth and thrusting inside of me faster. He pushes in one more time and stops, his body shuddering under my hands, heavy breaths and groans fanning my ear. I run a hand up his back, feeling his sweat as I close my eyes. My head is in a fog, and the inside of the truck is spinning. The orgasm seeps down every limb, and I feel tired and happy and sad. I don't want it to be over. But holy shit, we shouldn't have done that here. He relaxes on top of me, his hand still holding the door and his head bent to my shoulder. I stay there, still and quiet. I don't even want to look outside to see if anyone noticed. Like I really thought we could stop once we started. He raises his head finally and looks down at me. I smile small, wishing we were parked in the forest somewhere. Somewhere we could stay all night and do that some more. His eyebrows pinch together and he looks like he's searching for words.
"Ryan, I..."
"What?" But he remains silent. I touch his face, but he just shakes his head and looks away.
"Nothing. It's fine."
"Fine?" A chill brushes against my skin. "What's fine?" Chapter 12. Ryan. I sit in the front seat, pulling my hair over my shoulder and smoothing it down. After we finished, he climbed in the front seat and drove us out of the drive-in, while I stayed hidden in the back, getting dressed. I chew on the corner of my mouth, worry setting in. The truck was definitely moving. Anyone could have seen me climbing in before that, and everyone knows it's his truck. Not to mention, he's being quiet now, driving and not even looking at me. Typical guy. Say all the things you need to get into her pants, but all those strong feelings and hot whispers fade when you get what you want, doesn't it? Whatever. I fasten my seatbelt. The drive-in is behind us and the road ahead dark and empty. "I left my purse in Lila's car," I say, more to myself. "I'll have to make up something for why I left and how I got home."
"Well, good thing lying's not hard for you."
I shoot him a nasty look, but then I see him give me a joking smile, and I immediately relax a little. Maybe I don't need to lie at all. Just tell her I let Mason Laurent take me home. What could happen? I catch sight of the screen on the radio, seeing the name of the song playing from the iPod, and break out in a smile, turning it up. Mason glances over at me, probably wondering why I look happy.
"What?"
I gesture to the radio where Eminem's Without Me is playing. "I have a friend. He hates my taste in music," I tell him. "I sent him this song once. It led to a lifelong argument that still hasn't been settled."
"He?"
I lean back in my seat. "In elementary school, our teachers set us up as pen pals," I explain. "When the school year ended, though, we just kept writing, and we haven't stopped. He lives in Thunder Bay, but we've never met." Mason stares at the road ahead, his chest rising and falling steadily. He's not jealous, is he? Misha and I aren't like that.
Do you tell him everything?
He asks, still not looking at me. I narrow my eyes on him. Maybe he suspects Misha is important to me. Or maybe he wonders if my pen pal is more important than him. The truth is, Misha is irreplaceable. But even with him, I don't say everything. I turn my head to look at the window. I tell him more than I tell anyone else.
Do you lie to him?
Yes, I reply honestly. He gets the version of me I want to be. For some reason, I feel no shame in admitting that to Mason. With my mom, my sister, my teachers, and my friends, I feel like I'm judged, like there's something I need to live up to. Even with Misha, I feel guilty for never putting my money where my mouth is and hoping he never finds out how awful I can be sometimes. I want him to think the best of me. But with Mason, I almost feel like nothing I could do could make him want me less. Like my imperfections entertain him, my issues complement his issues, and two negatives make a positive, and all that.
Are you going to write him and tell him about tonight?
I turn to him, a slight smile on my face. Probably. Would you care? He shakes his head, watching the road. You wouldn't be jealous?
You'll need your friends,
he replies. I arch a brow. What the hell does that mean? He pulls into my driveway and follows the circle around to the front door and stops. I unfasten my seatbelt and glance at his right hand sitting on his lap. Not even a half hour ago, that hand was on my ass. No one knows how this feels. I close my eyes, feeling lonely now. Why is he being so distant? I'm not dumb enough to think we're a couple now. I never have unrealistic expectations when it comes to people. But this is awkward. His vibe sucks, like tonight was a mistake or something, and it hurts a little. Not that I'll ever admit that to him. Well, I sigh, opening the door. I guess I'll see you. I climb out and slam the door behind me, walking toward my house. I hear another door slam shut, and I turn around to see Mason jogging toward me. I stop. He touches my face, coming in close and looking down at me.
What's his name?
Who? He hovers close, his lips an inch from mine.
Your pen pal.
His breath lingers on my lips, and I open my mouth just a little in anticipation for him. God, he smells good. Misha, I whisper. He kisses me, his lips sinking into mine as I close my eyes.
What was that?
He teases, nibbling my lips.
I couldn't hear you.
Misha, I gasp, before diving into him and brushing his tongue with mine. I press my body into his, feeling the bulge in his jeans rubbing me. He finally pulls away, breathless and turned on again, just like at the drive-in.
Thank you.
He kisses me one last time on the lips and turns around, heading back to his truck.
What the hell?
I watch, confused again, as he starts the engine and drives away, his taillights glowing in the darkness as he pulls out onto the street. I know him very little, but after every encounter, I feel like I know him less. I didn't see Mason all weekend. Saturday came and went. My friends and I spent all day on the football field, orientating the incoming freshman cheerleaders for the next school year, and Sunday I was locked in my room, playing music, doing homework, and writing Misha. Three letters. Two of them were just full of boring, stupid crap, and the third, the one about Mason, I crumpled up and threw away. I'm not sure why. I don't even know why I wrote it in the first place. Walking down the hallway at school Monday morning, I stop at my locker and start to key in the combination, but I see black writing on the front, and I stop. Anything to not need you. Anything to not fall for you. Anything to look at a girl who's not you. But baby, there's nothing but you. I smile. Mason. At least I hope he's the culprit. My cheeks warm, hating how happy that just made me. Why does it feel so good to know he was thinking about me this weekend when he snuck in to write it? I try to force away the grin, but it pulls at me still as I open my locker and stuff in my bag, taking out what I need for the morning. I walk to Art and enter the room, immediately shooting my eyes over to his seat, and relieved to see him sitting there. I don't know why, but I'm afraid any moment could be the last I see him. He talks to Manny seated next to him, and as usual, he either doesn't notice me or acts like he doesn't. I walk up to my table and turn to set my materials down, but someone bumps into me, and I lurch forward.
Sorry, a deep voice says, and something is shoved into my hand. I straighten and turn my head, seeing Mason brush past me and head to the front of the room, smirking back at me as he tosses his gum into the trash can. I curl my fingers around the small piece of paper and sit down, acting like nothing happened. He returns and takes his seat again, resuming his conversation with Manny. I hold the paper in my lap and look down, unfolding it and reading it. I can't wait to kiss you. Tingles spread underneath my skin, and I stuff the paper into my pocket. Trying to appear like romantic crap like that doesn't do it for me. Nope, not at all. And I totally didn't replay the drive-in in my head 1,000 times this weekend, remembering how awesome his kisses really are. But then I look up and see Trey walking into the classroom. My stomach sinks. I was looking forward to having Mason close, but Trey's the rain on the parade again. I should just cut him loose. I think you really like art, I say as he pulls out the chair next to me. People will start talking. They'll forgive me when they find out I only sit here to look down your shirt. He rests a hand on my chair behind me and lets his eyes fall to my loose t-shirt. He can't see down the top, but a sliver of my belly is showing at the bottom, right above my tight jeans. You're a nice view. Yeah, okay. But I stop, hearing a scratching sound. I turn my head, seeing Mason rotate a protractor in one hand, the sharp needle digging into the wooden table and slowly slicing a circle as he grinds it. I dart my eyes up to his face, seeing that he's focused ahead, but when I look back down, I notice the black finish of the table is now marred, revealing the tan wood underneath. I feel a smile pull at my lips. He's not happy. Good. If he wants me to find a new prom date, then he can man up and ask me. Well then, I continue, pushing the envelope and looking to Trey but talking loud enough for Mason to hear. You should see my prom dress. You're going to love it. Can't wait. He grins back. I open my sketchbook and continue working on my project while Ms. Till starts drifting around the room to check on students and how they're coming along. Hey, Manny, I hear Trey call in a whisper. You won't have your guard dog in P.E. today. I hood my eyes, agitated. Manny remains still, shrinking almost entirely from view on Mason's other side. You see, Laurent? Trey calls over my head to Mason. You can't watch him all the time. I continue hearing the scratching of the protractor and look up, scanning the room. Till needs to get Trey out of here. Mason attacking him won't go unpunished if it happens again. When you sucker punch someone, that shit doesn't go unchecked, Trey threatens. So don't turn your back either. I won't be alone next time. Jesus, I'm bored, I mumble at Trey. Go to chemistry, would you? He arches a brow. I'll see you at lunch, I say, pushing him to take the hint. I have to work now. He snorts like he's wondering what possible work I could have to do in art. He finally rolls his eyes and gives me a peck on the cheek, getting up and walking out of the classroom. I reach down, pretending to get something out of my bag as I whisper to Mason. Tell me you're jealous. I say the same words to him as he said to me at the drive-in. I don't want to go to prom with Trey. I don't want to even talk to Trey. But Mason has given me nothing, and I'm not putting my life on hold in the meantime. Tell me I'm yours, I say. He lets the protractor fall to the table and looks down, keeping silent. My jaw aches, and I feel tears sting the back of my eyes. I feel like you're going to disappear any minute, like you're not really real. I'll tell you everything, he whispers back. I promise, just not yet. I wipe away the wet at the corner of my eye and clear my throat. I like Mason, a lot, but he has no roots here, and once the year ends, nothing is keeping him here. I'm nervous. A low growl catches my attention, and I turn my head, realizing it's coming from Mason's stomach. He shifts in his seat, looking a little embarrassed. Have you eaten today? I'm fine, he says. I just didn't feel like gas station food again. I watch him, the realization of his situation hitting me. Does he just go to the cove after he leaves here? Is he alone all the time? How much money could he possibly have to eat and get gas and do laundry? Sadness creeps in. No one's taking care of him. He must sense me watching him because he jerks his chin at my drawing, changing the subject. What is that? I swallow, gazing down at my third try at the Cole sketch, which looks more like a Rorschach ink blot. I suck. It's an album cover, I tell him. That friend I told you about, Misha, he writes music.
I was making him a surprise for graduation. His eyes narrow on it, and his breathing turns fast and shallow.
What?
He turns away, blinking rapidly.
Nothing.
I let out a sigh and turn back to my work.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
I might lie a lot, but at least I say something. I reach into my bag and pull out a granola bar, tossing it in front of him before I excuse myself to go to the bathroom. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning, and I think I've already had enough boys for one day.
Squeezing out the packet into the cup, I replace the plastic lid and shake the salad inside. The Caesar dressing mixes and coats the contents, and I grab a plastic fork and a bottle of water, moving down the cafeteria line to the cashier.
You're eating?
Lila steps up next to me and reaches over, taking a cup of fruit.
Yeah.
I hand my lunch card to the cashier and she swipes it.
Spring fever, might as well eat.
I can't concentrate on schoolwork today.
Or at least, not at school.
My mind is on Mason all the time. Is he here? Is he close? Is he going to push me into a classroom, touch me, and kiss the daylights out of me? Please, God, yes?
You know, I should tell you,
Lila says, giving the cashier some money.
You leaving the drive-in with Mason Friday night was pretty shitty.
I stop and turn my eyes on her, my heart catching in my throat.
I don't really care if she knows I left with him, but does she know what we were doing in his truck at the drive-in?
She smiles sarcastically.
Him pulling out of the drive-in right in the middle of a movie, and you nowhere to be found? It wasn't hard to figure out, and I'm willing to bet Trey's figured it out too.
I exhale, relaxing a little.
Okay, she doesn't know much else then.
You know what?
I say.
You actually shouldn't tell me anything. You didn't see me leave with him, you have no clue what's going on between us, if anything, and you've given more guys a ride than a bus. When you're perfect, then we'll talk. Got it?
Her eyes flare, shooting me a nasty look as she opens her mouth to speak again.
But I cut her off.
You're done,
I tell her.
I'm hungry. Let's eat.
I turn around, but I see Trey and JD approach and stop.
Son of a...
You wanna have some fun?
Trey comes in, placing his hands on my hips.
What?
I breathe out a laugh, a little exasperated. I can't keep up with the intrigues right now. But I blink, trying to focus myself again and find my quick wit.
Sure,
I give in. I was wondering when you'd start getting interesting. JD laughs, and Trey cocks an eyebrow, half amused and half looking like he wants to teach me how to keep my mouth shut.
Laurent can't seem to take his eyes off you,
he says. He turns his head over his shoulder, and I follow his gaze, finding Mason sitting at a table full of the worst delinquents in school. He leans back, his long legs stretched out, and his hands locked behind his head, laughing with the guy he's talking to.
So?
I look back at Trey.
So, I think he wants you,
he answers.
I want you to use that for me.
And then he leans in, holding the other side of my face and whispering into my ear.
Get him to come to my house next week for the party.
I pinch my eyebrows together, vaguely remembering him mentioning his parents being out of town soon. And he wants me to bring Mason.
So you can do what?
Beat him up after I've lured him into the trap like in that 80s movie?
Yeah, no.
Trey pulls away, and I force my tone even.
That doesn't sound like any fun to me.
Trey hoods his eyes, clearly getting aggravated with my lack of cooperation. He turns to Lila, giving her a sexy smile.
Lila, baby,
he says, and I see JD tense.
You got some balls, don't you?
Lila grins back coyly, and I shake my head. If I don't do what he wants, Lila will. I catch JD's sneer shoot between Trey and Lila, and then to me before he looks away. I heave a sigh.
Mason's not stupid, Trey. He'll see right through her.
I shove my salad at Lila and brush past the boys, walking toward Mason's table. Stepping up, I stop next to him. All of his buddies cease their conversation and look at me, but Mason doesn't spare me a glance.
Hey.
I put my hand on my hip, knowing he's aware of me. A smile curls Mason's lips, and his friend's eager glances dart between him and me.
Princess,
he says.
What can I do for you?
Oh, please. I slide in between him and the table, hopping up and planting my hands behind me, leaning back a little, well aware my shirt is riding up as his eyes flash to my stomach. A few snorts sound off from his friends, and I taunt him with my eyes. Your prom date's watching, he says.
He sent me, I reply.
He seems to think he'll let me bring you to one of his parties.
I hear a few mumbles around the table, while Mason simply looks amused.
We both know what Trey has in store, and I can feel my own friends watching us.
You don't want your friends thinking you're a chicken, do you? I play.
Mason's smile widens and he glances to his side, probably seeing if Trey is paying attention.
Not that either of us probably care. I kind of like this game. No one would believe we're actually into each other.
I can play them as long as we're not playing each other.
He looks up at me and slides his hands under my knees, pulling me off the table and slowly lowering me into his lap, straddling him. Quiet laughter sounds off around the table and a need is suddenly building between my legs. Leaning into him, chest to chest, I whisper in his ear.
I don't want you to go, I admit. He won't be alone.
Why do you care?
He speaks low, keeping his tone flat.
You're still taking Machismo Dick to prom, aren't you?
Has anyone else asked me?
Would you say yes?
I brush his ear with my nose, feeling his soft skin there.
Ask and find out.
Trevorrow! I jerk, hearing my name called. I don't have to turn around to know it's the principal.
Great.
I move to get off his lap, but he presses his hands down on my thighs, keeping me there.
Mason, I urge.
He's going to get me in trouble, in public.
Get off his lap, Principal Burroughs orders me.
Now. I put my hands on Mason's shoulders, moving to get up, but he grips my hips again, keeping me down.
She gets off my dick when I tell her to get off, he tells the principal.
My mouth falls open, and I widen my eyes.
What the fuck?
Burroughs' expression turns furious, and I hear various laughs and snorts around the table behind me.
I beg your pardon, she exclaims.
But Mason just leans into my ear.
I'll see you later.
And then he stands, carefully letting me slide off his lap and onto my feet. He doesn't spare anyone a second glance and walks out of the lunchroom with Burroughs' heels clacking after him. Somehow, though, I doubt she's going to be able to stop him.
Chapter 13. Misha. I'm going to hell. I'm pretty sure she's going to drag me there herself. Ryan has a nasty temper, and it's the one thing about her I didn't know but was happy to find out. It excites me. I tilt the flower pot and pluck out the key that's hidden underneath. Unlocking her front door, I replace the key and enter the house as the grandfather clock chimes to indicate it's 5 a.m. Hopefully everyone is still asleep. I'll tell her tomorrow. I'll take her to my father's house, my house, and show her... No, I should write her a letter. Something where I can get my words out right. No. Fuck. She won't accept it. She won't be able to get past it. She'll hate me and cut me off, and my life will be empty without her. I have to tell her, or I have to leave. And the possibility that I'll do just that, punk out and cut and run, is the only reason I don't claim her. The only reason I don't knock Trey's fucking hands off her and put a dent in his stomach. I can't rob her of prom and friends when I know I won't be here to pick up the pieces. I'll either be gone or she'll make me go. How do you tell your friend, your best friend, that you've been right here, under her nose, playing with her like a puppet, that she had no idea the guy who was fucking her Friday night was the boy she grew up with? It all just got so out of hand. I closed the door, gently releasing the knob to keep from alerting anyone who might be awake that someone's breaking into their house. Looking around the downstairs, I don't see or hear anyone, so I jog upstairs, careful to keep my steps light and quick. Veering to the right, I twist the knob to Ryan's bedroom and open the door. But I hear a gasp and look up to see her scrambling on the bed, pulling the sheet over her chest as she sits up. I narrow my eyes, shocked she's awake already, as I close and lock the door. I was just planning on lying down next to her, savoring the feel of her for a little while. Our days might be numbered.
What are you doing?
She whisper yells.
How'd you get in here?
Same way I got in last time, I reply, walking toward the bed. There's a spare key under the flower pot outside. She rolls her eyes, probably at her mom's stupidity. I let my eyes fall down her body, noticing her bare leg arched up, but as I drift my gaze back up again, I see the curve of her hip, completely bare, and the side of her torso visible in her half-shirt. What the hell? Reaching down, I lift the sheet up, seeing that she's completely bottomless. No sleep shorts, no underwear. She snatches the sheet back, covering herself, a rosy blush crossing her cheeks. Why are you naked? I straighten, suspicion crawling my skin. I don't wait for an answer. I walk to the closet and throw open the doors, wondering who the fuck she has in there. She was obviously awake and scared when I opened the door. There's no one here, she says. I'm alone. I look around the room, noticing there aren't any other hiding places except... I kneel down and throw up her bed skirt, peering underneath the bed. Nothing. Why the fuck is she naked, then? I stand up, cocking an eyebrow at her as she shifts nervously. And then it occurs to me. Taking the sheet in my hand, I yank it off her, her little whimper falling on my deaf ears as I lock eyes on a small black bullet vibrator. My pulse speeds up and I feel my cock instantly swell. She places her hands behind her, holding herself up with her knees arched up, and chews on her lip, turning her embarrassed eyes away. I can't resist an amused smile. I lean down and hook the cord with a finger, picking it up, the black egg dangling in the air. Thinking about me, were you? A little snarl mars her fresh morning face. You wish, loser. My chest rumbles with a laugh. Dropping the sex toy, I slide my hand between her legs, all the doubt and fear of a minute ago falling away as I slip the tip of my finger into her wet heat. Did you come yet? She tosses me another scowl, still looking away. Leaning into her ear, I whisper, Do you have any idea how perfect you are? Her breathing hitches, and she finally turns her face to me. I run my hand up her pussy over her smooth-toned stomach and just under her half-shirt, grazing the underside of her breast. Show me what you do with it, I beg. Her eyes flash up to me, worry and nervousness written all over her face. I glide my fingers over her hard nipples. I love everything you do, I promise. She shakes her head. I grip her breast harder, a little whimper catching in her throat. Do it now, I growl, demanding. Her head falls back and she squirms a little, clearly turned on, and I moan in her ear, my dick fucking solid. I hear the clank of the vibrator and remote and stand up, backing away so I can watch her. I expect her to lie back, stick the ball in between her thighs and start rubbing it on herself, but she doesn't do that. Instead, she slowly turns over onto her stomach and slides the egg between her and the sheet, all the way down to her pussy. I sit down in the chair next to the bedside table, not blinking even once. I don't want to miss a second. Bending a knee to spread herself open, she positions the ball right where she needs it, and I let my eyes fall down her body. The sexy little white t-shirt that ends halfway down her back, her perfect ass, her sexy tanned legs, and when the buzzing begins, I groan, my cock straining against my jeans. She turns her head to me, her body supported up on her elbows, and I see her hips start grinding into the bed, her pussy rubbing against the hard little vibrating ball underneath her. I can barely breathe. I'm so fucking mesmerized. Her ass moves, rolling in little circles as she pleasures herself, and I hear her breathing get heavier. Looking up, I meet her eyes, one nearly hidden behind her hair. Her stare is hard, as if her imagination has taken hold, and it's me she's fucking instead of the toy. You fuck that little ball a lot? I ask, my voice husky. She nods slowly. I like watching that ass move, babe. I can tell. Her amused eyes fall to my groin, probably noticing how hard I am. She arches her neck back, running a hand up her thigh and over her ass, moaning and grunting faster as she starts to hump harder. Oh, fuck. The sexy movement of her hips, the way her ass thrusts in and out, is the hottest damn thing I've ever seen. Her heated eyes fall on me again, luring me in. I fucked a lot in this bed, just never with someone else. Well, it's time to pop that cherry. Oh, she moans, her face twisted in pleasure. She grinds her pussy harder, digging into the bed and trying to rub her clit to orgasm. I lean forward, my elbows on my knees, hypnotized. I'm so wet, she whimpers. I can feel it dripping over my clit. I fist my fingers. I like it when you watch me, she whispers. It makes me want to suck your cock. My eyes go wide, and I stand up, walking over to her. Cupping her chin, I lean down, forcing her head back and her eyes up to me. You're a hot little brat, I growl over her lips. But only for me. You got that? I grab her breast, squeezing it roughly and making her moan. This is mine. She darts her tongue out, flicking my lip ring. I can feel you down my throat already. I groan under my breath, the blood rushing to my cock. That's it. I reach underneath her, pull out the vibrator, and fling it onto the floor. What? She protests, but I kneel on the bed behind her, grab her hips, and pull her up onto her hands and knees, smacking her ass. She yelps, but follows it with a moan, inching her knees wider apart and arching her back, welcoming me. I pull my shirt off and over my head, tossing it to the floor. Reaching into my pocket, I pull out a condom and unfasten my jeans, pulling out my cock and sheathing it. Is she on the pill? God, what I wouldn't give to feel her bare right now. I roll the rubber on and guide my dick into her, thrusting once and hard, burying myself deep inside her. Oh, she groans. I close my eyes, her tight heat wrapping around me and filtering through my whole damn body. Gripping her hips, I thrust in and out, pulling her heart-shaped ass into me hard and fast. Damn, you feel good. She holds herself up on her hands, her long hair spilling down her back and bouncing as I fuck her. Running one hand up her spine, I feel her body move and back up into my cock, eager to meet me halfway every time I enter her. I slide my hand up her neck and thread my fingers through her hair, fisting it. Pulling her back, I turn her head and kiss her, her tongue teasing me as she pulls away and comes back for more. I thrust harder and the headboard starts hitting the wall. You have to go slow, she tilts her head back, closing her eyes in pleasure. My mom and sister will hear. Fuck that, I growl in her ear. I'm not holding back again. Last Friday night was agonizing, and while I enjoyed it, it was torture trying to contain myself so the truck wouldn't rock and no one would hear her moaning. I pound into her, the sound of skin hitting skin filling the room as I grunt and tense every goddamn muscle in my body. I know I'm hitting her deep because her moans are getting faster and higher. I'm going to do something a little illegal tonight, I tell her, tugging at her earlobe with my teeth. You game? What is it? She breathes out. It's a surprise, don't you trust me? She scoffs. Why would I trust you? The only thing I know about you is that you've got a nice body and you get me off good. I can't help the stupid fucking pleasure that swarms my chest. I don't want to be just a fuck to her, but I'm glad I please her in that area. She owns my head and my body. When she finds out who I am, will she remember how perfect we are? You know more than that, I whisper. I won't let anything happen to you. You're my tribe, Ryan. She pauses and looks me in the eyes. What did you say? Every part of my body tenses. Fuck. Tribe. She wrote that in a letter. Why did I say that? I deflect as quickly as I can. I lean forward and come down on her, pushing her down to the mattress and thrusting deeper and harder. I said I won't put you in danger. I reach around and cup her face, turning her head and kissing her. Come with me while everyone is at the game tonight. She whimpers, her eyes falling closed, and I can feel her tightening around my cock. Come on, make some trouble with me, I say. And get an insight into who the hell you are? She shoots back, her breathing turning shallow and hard. Maybe. She nods, her eyebrows pinching together and looking like she's about to come. Okay. I push into her, fucking her relentlessly, as electric shocks course through my stomach and stream all the way down to my dick. Yeah. Yeah, she pants, arching up her ass to meet my thrusts. I cover her mouth with mine, our moans drowning out as we both come, her pussy squeezing like a vice grip around me. I thrust a few more times, wishing I can spill inside of her as pleasure washes over my whole body. And I eventually still. Damn. She's perfect. I gnaw at her mouth in short, gentle nibbles. I love her lips, and the light sweat I can taste on her skin. A door closing sounds from out in the hall, and I gather her family is starting to wake up. My eyelids are suddenly heavy, and I breathe hard, trying to come down. I better get out of here. Looking down, I see her face resting on the bed, her eyes closed, looking very content. I slip my hands between her and the bed and squeeze her breast, placing one last kiss on her cheek. Thanks, pom-poms. I'll see you at school. She makes a little growl in her throat, but her eyes remain closed, and I laugh to myself as I clean up and get dressed.
Chapter 14. Ryan. Do you think anyone will guess we got this shit from the bakery? Lila asks, holding up a stack of wrapped cookies. I take the clear plastic bag from her, tied with a red bow, and set it back down on the long plastic table. It's not shit, because it's from the bakery. School ended 4 hours ago, but the parking lot is packed full of cars as we stand behind our table, greeting people before they enter the ballpark. The sun has already set, and the field lighting overhead shines down, brightening the area as the last of the crowd filters through the gates. Lila and I were picked by the coach to work the bake sale tonight, and as a requirement, we have to wear our cheer uniforms. Fundraising is one of our many duties, and since we're not busy rallying the crowd during the baseball game that's about to start, we're trying to earn some money for the team and acclimate some of the new girls coming in next year. Technically, we were supposed to bake the goods we're selling, with the help of the team moms, but we'd dropped the ball, not planning ahead. It's spring, school's almost over, and I'm already swamped as it is. So, we raided Lieber's Bakery during school today, and got dismissed from final period to package everything in our own bags with ribbons of the school's colors. Come on, freshmen! Lila claps her hands. Smile! It's your new thing, I promise. I laugh to myself. I don't envy them at all. The will to plaster a smile I don't feel on my face has very nearly left the building. I push the packages of cookies and brownies up to replace what has already been sold. Looking up, I see Mason standing near his truck with a group of guys from school. My stomach somersaults. He's watching me with an amused look on his face. I'd told him about the bake sale during art today, so we agreed to meet afterward to do whatever it is he's got planned. God help me. After sneaking into my room this morning, catching me with my vibrator, and damn near waking up the whole house because he needed to get laid, the rest of the day passed relatively calmly. Everything else was easy-peasy compared to that. I resist the urge to pull out the huge-ass black bow on top of my head that we're required to wear as part of the uniform. I can feel the laugh he's holding back all the way from here. I see him and his friends approach. Jesus, it's like the Disney Channel puked all over this table, he jokes, scanning the array of polka-dotted plastic bags and the flowery tablecloth. I put my hands on my hips. Nice bow. He jerks his chin, eyeing the top of my head. If I pull it, does it have a string that makes you talk and move? A snort breaks into a laugh, and I shoot a glare over to Ten, standing behind Lila. He hunches over just a little, his body shaking. He glances up at me, sees my stare, and tries to hold it back. I'm sorry, okay? It was funny. I arch an eyebrow and turn my eyes back to Mason. He cocks his head, looking delighted with himself. I grab the collar of his black hoodie and pull his face close, leaning into his ear and covering my whisper with my hand. You left bruises all over my tits this morning, I tell him. And if you're not nice, I won't let you kiss them better later. He sucks in a breath. Now buy some cookies, I order, pushing him away. A smile pulls at his mouth, but I raise my chin, watching him pull out his wallet. He hands Lila a $100 bill, and I blink, trying not to look like I'm taken off guard. Okay? I guess he's okay on money after all. Where'd he get that much cash? An unnerving feeling settles in my gut. How much will this buy me? He asks her, but keeps his eyes on me. She takes the bill and stares at it for a moment. But then she takes a package of 10 cookies and shoves it at him. Here. A laugh catches in my throat. That stack of sweets costs $5, but I don't care that she's hustling him. He deserves it. He gives the package a look, clearly knowing he's being swindled, but he keeps quiet and tosses it to a friend behind him. Slipping his wallet back into his pocket, he holds my eyes briefly before walking away, his crew following. Nice. Lila waves the $100 in front of me. What did you say to him? I forget. I don't fear Lila's judgment about Mason, and part of me wants people to see him touch me. But for some reason, Mason still feels like a fling, and I don't want to try to explain it to others. I'm still trying to figure him out myself. And part of me likes the sneaking around. I love having this one thing that makes me happy that I don't have to share with anyone else. Kind of like Misha. Misha. Why do I feel like I'm betraying him? He abandoned me. After the national anthem and the first pitch, Lila 10 and I call it a night, sending the other girls home and then packing up. Lila grabs the rest of the snacks, saying we'll just give them to the baseball team when they're done, and 10 heads into the game, probably to find JD and the rest of our friends. I hook my bag over my shoulder, grab my water bottle, and walk for the parking lot instead of the ball field. Where are you going? Lila asks, turning with a box of cookies in her arms. I gesture to my bag, taking this to my car. I walk away, not waiting for a response, and head straight for my Jeep, seeing that Mason's black Raptor is parked on the other side of the aisle. His eyes are on me as he leans against his door and two of his pals stand in front of him, their heads turned and watching me too. Tossing my bag into the back, I reach up and unclip my bow and pull out the rubber band that held the top half of my hair back. I comb the strands with my fingers and fluff it up, letting it hang loose down my back. Turning around, I lean back on my Jeep and hang my elbows over the edge of the car, looking straight at him. I don't know, man, Finn Damaris muses, smirking. She looks like she wants something. What do you think? Yeah. The one with the mohawk whose name I don't know nods and bites his bottom lip, letting his eyes fall down my body. She definitely wants something. Mason watches behind them, amusement in his eyes. She's so clean, Finn comments, turning to his friend. I'll bet she likes to get dirty, though. Mohawk laughs. Oh, yeah. I roll my eyes, waiting. I'm sure they're loving this. The stuck-up girl playing with one of their own. You guys take off, Mason says. I got this. I walk over, fall gently into his chest as his friends disappear, snickering. So, where are we going? I hover over his lips. He inhales a deep breath and plants a quick peck on my cheek, standing up straight. Come on, get in. I cross my arms over my chest to keep from fidgeting. I should have changed my clothes. Mason peers over, driving past my neighborhood and deeper into the countryside. Why? Because if we're seen doing whatever it is we're doing, I explain, I won't be hard to identify in a Falcon's Well cheer uniform. He smiles to himself and looks back at the road. You won't be seen. I take in a deep breath and reach over and turn up the radio, trying to drown out the worry in my head as Breaking Benjamin's So Cold plays. I try to act like a badass, but honestly, I'm nervous as hell. I should have told him no this morning. I'd stopped writing on the walls, and doing anything more illegal would be risking too much. I have acceptance letters to NYU, Cornell, and Dartmouth. Like I'm going to jeopardize that simply because I'm infatuated with him and will use any excuse to be close to him. Actually, it was hard to refuse him anything while he was inside me. I would have told him I'd tattoo his name on my neck if he wanted. He'd probably love that. I glance over at him, laughing inside at the idea. His brown hair, wispy and sticking up a little, is pushed forward, and I stare at his mouth, remembering the warmth of the smooth metal ring grazing the dozens of places he's kissed on my body. I suddenly want to know everything. What he was like as a kid, what his favorite kinds of music are, where he goes when he wants some peace and quiet, and whom does he go to when he needs to talk? Who does he love? Who's there for him? Who knows him best? Who knows him better than me? I can't help the jealousy I feel at that thought. He has an entire life and history with people who aren't me. I chew on the corner of my mouth, feeling so many things I know I shouldn't say, but I want to. I like you, I tell him, looking down, my voice quiet. I see him turn his head toward me, not saying anything. You said some nice things last Friday night, I go on. And I wanted you to know, in case you don't already, that I actually kind of like you. I raise my eyes, seeing him watch me with something I can't read going on in his eyes. I know I can be me. I don't get sappy, and I don't give up what's going on in my head a lot. It's hard for me. I pause, feeling a little more resolute. I want him to know. But yeah, I like you. I know it's not much, but it's a lot for me, and I hope he knows that. Admitting I like him makes me vulnerable, and that's not usually a card I ever give up. Not anymore. Because, to be honest, I don't just like him. It's more than that. I think about him. I miss him when he's not around. It'll hurt if he has to leave as suddenly as he appeared. He's quiet, and the heat of embarrassment blankets my skin. Awesome. Good going, Ryan. Maybe all he liked about you was that you weren't clingy, and now you're acting like you're in love with him. When are we going to be there? I ask, my tone curt as I try to change the subject. I watch as he slowly pulls over to the side of the road and parks next to a wall of trees. We're here now, he answers. I peer around the hedge, taking a better look, and then dart my eyes around, taking in the quiet, spacious neighborhood. This is Trey's house, I point out. My guard definitely up now. He nods, taking off his seatbelt. There's something of mine in there. A family heirloom. He gestures to Trey's house on the right. And I need it back. What are you talking about? Why would Trey have something of yours? He shakes his head. Not Trey. What? He takes my phone out of my hand and punches some buttons on the screen as I try to figure out what the hell's going on. There's something of his in there? Something he wants back? Trey and his entire family are at the baseball game, so no one's home. Are we breaking in? Mason, I'm not breaking into his house. You don't have to. He hands my phone back to me. I programmed in my number. I think it's about time you had it anyway. Call me if anyone comes home or if you see anything weird. What? I stare at him, appalled, but he just climbs out of the truck and jogs for the house. Excuse me? I push open the door, jump out, and slam it behind me, chasing after him. I can't believe you! I whisper yell, catching up to him in the middle of Trey's lawn. You won't tell me anything, and now you're breaking and entering and you're involving me? I could get into trouble, and yes, I don't mean to seem like a hypocrite, being punk and all, but I don't want to do this. He stops, and I clutch my phone in my hand, kind of wanting to throw it at him. Where the hell does he get off? He has friends. Why not ask them? Why would you ask me to do this? I demand. Because it's important. He glares at me, but I don't think he's angry. Letting out a breath, his expression softens as he approaches me. Because I need what's in there, and because you're the one I trust. You're the one I want here. Gee, thanks. I'm serious, Ryan. Trust me, would you? I trust people who don't deliberately put me in danger. I shoot back. I thought we were doing something at the cove or climbing a water tower or something. Not breaking into the principal's house. You break into the principal's school, he points out. I twist up my lips, folding my arms over my chest. Jerk. He regards me for a moment and then drops his eyes. Taking my hand, he places his keys in my palm. You're right. Go ahead and take the truck to your house. I'll meet you there. He tells me, relenting. It's only a mile away. I can walk it. What? No. But he turns around and walks for Trey's house, not giving me a chance to protest. I don't want to get in trouble, but I don't want him getting in trouble either. Something of his is in the house, so we're not taking anything that belongs to them then. Okay. I let out a sigh and run after him. Just go, don't think. I wonder how many people who got prison sentences said the same thing when they committed their crimes. I see him head for the front door, digging something out of his pocket, but I eye the doggy door on the garage and then look around me. Anyone could drive by, or a neighbor could possibly spot Mason at the door, trying to get in. The doggy door is a better idea, I tell him, knowing Trey's parents probably took the husky with them to the game. He jerks his head, eyeing the rectangular hole in the door. I can't fit through there. Of course not. Their dog is big, but not that big. I shake my head, hesitating for a moment, but then I heave a sigh and move toward the door. I can try to convince myself that I know this house, having been here before, and I can get him through it and try to find what he needs a lot faster than he can. But the truth is, I want to know what he's looking for and why. So far, he's been like a ghost, and I'm curious. Crouching down, I push my hand through the doggy door, listening for feet to come running or bark. But all I hear is leaves rustling in the wind. Mason comes up behind me, and I stick my head through, seeing only the inside of the pitch-black garage. Sliding my arm in, I turn on my side, maneuvering my shoulders through the tight space, and put my hands down on the cold cement floor, wiggling my body through the small hole. I inhale the musty air and make out the little green dot of light by the kitchen door, guessing that must be the opener. Stepping cautiously in the dark, I hold out my hands and move toward the door, trying to avoid the pool table, couch, and other furnishings I know are in the converted man cave. "Don't turn on any lights," Mason calls. "Duh." My foot hits the step, and I reach out my hand, pressing the button for the opener. The motor starts turning, and the garage door begins to lift up. Mason bends down and slides in under the door, and I press the button, lowering it again. I twist the handle to the kitchen door and open it, immediately seeing moonlight streaming through a large kitchen window. Mason comes in behind me, closing the door, and I inhale, smelling Trey. It's funny how people smell like their houses, or vice versa. Combinations of leather and wood furniture, Febreze, laundry soap, the different colognes and perfumes your parents and siblings use, the food your family cooks, all coming together to create a single, solitary scent in your house. Except Mason. He smells like the leather from his truck with a hint of soap. That's it. Let's go. He leads me through the house, looking around as if figuring out where to go, which I could tell him if I knew what he was looking for. But rounding the stairs, he jogs up and I follow. Are you going to Trey's room? I ask. If so, I'll find it. He bites out. I don't need to know that you know where it is. I smile to myself. I don't. I was just asking. He opens a door and I peer into the darkness, seeing pink walls and toy hot air balloons hanging from the ceiling. It must be Emma's room, Trey's half-sister. I know Principal Burroughs married Trey's dad when Trey was about 4. Even though he calls her Jillian and doesn't treat her like a mom, she practically raised him and then gave birth to a daughter several years younger than Trey. I look at Mason, wondering why he's not closing the door. What he needs can't possibly be in here. Emma is only like 6. She didn't steal anything from him. But he just stands there, letting his eyes drift around the room. His chest moves with his shallow breaths. Mason, I prompt, but he doesn't answer. I touch his arm. Mason, I say louder. What are we looking for? I want to get out of here. He blinks, turning away, almost like he's angry. All right, come on. He leaves the room, and I shut the door again, catching a flash of movement. The shadows of the leaves outside the hall window dance over the carpet, and my heart skips a beat. Walking to the next door, Mason strolls in and stops for just a moment, looking around. Heading for the armoire, he pulls open a drawer and takes out a small flashlight from his pocket. He clicks on the small light and starts inspecting the jewelry case. You can't be serious, I bark in a whisper, stepping up to him. Did the principal steal your favorite string of pearls? It's a long story, babe. He pulls open drawer after drawer, quickly scanning the contents and shuffling items around, searching for what? I don't know. And I'm fascinated, I retort. But if you steal anything, I'll make you bleed. Hold this. He shoves the flashlight at me. I won't take anything that's not already mine. What's yours? What are we looking for? A watch. A watch? Why would the Burroughs have your watch? I ask, confused. Later, he says. Now hold up the light. I purse my lips, growing impatient, but I hold up the light and shine it on the drawers he's sifting through. I follow him when he moves to the dresser, dipping his hands in sweaters and shirts, feeling around. So, do you want to take a shower tonight? He glances up at me. I frown. He's flirting? Really? He chuckles. I don't really need one, but I'd love to wipe that little scowl off your face, and I'll bet you'll feel good wet. I shake my head, trying to look unamused at his shitty choice of timing for dirty talk. Although a hot shower with him, kissing and touching him, sounds really good. Just hurry up, I whisper, wiggling my legs underneath me, getting anxious. He searches the rest of the room, some small boxes in the closet and the bedside drawers, while I hold the light, waiting for him to give up, so we can just get out of here. But he pauses briefly, standing at the foot of the bed, thinking. And then, before I have a chance to push him again to get us out of here, he whips around and heads out of the room and across the hall. Trey's room. Finally. I expected him to search there first. I don't know why Trey would have anything of his, but he'd be a hell of a lot more likely to steal something from Mason than the parents. Glancing around the principal's bedroom, I make sure everything is put back in place, closets and drawers closed, and shut the bedroom door, hustling across the hall and following him into Trey's room. I brave a glance around. I should feel guilty that I'm sneaking around the room of the guy I'm going to prom with, but I let my gaze fall on his queen-sized bed, a navy blue comforter with gray sheets, and I feel a shiver crawl up my arms instead. There's no way I ever want to lie in there with him. I watch Mason open the bedside drawer and pick up a box of condoms, flashing it to me over his shoulder. What do you think? He teases. Is he stocking up for prom? Oh, whatever. You know, you keep bringing up prom, I point out, stepping up behind him and whispering in his ear. If you're that worried about what might happen with those condoms, maybe you should do something about it. I feel his body shake with a quiet laugh as he tosses the box back into the drawer. Ask me, I whisper, running my lip over his lobe. Ask me and I'll say yes. He leans into my mouth, looking at me. Maybe tomorrow. I push away, displeased. Douchebag. He chuckles behind me. I flash the light around the room as Mason makes his way over to the dresser and opens the left drawer, mussing the socks as he digs. But I notice something in the dark and pinch my eyebrows together, coming over and reaching in, touching his hand. This drawer should be deeper, I tell him, my fingers hitting a plank of wood. I'd noticed his hand and wrist in the drawer when the depth should have eaten up half his forearm. We both feel around, and Mason narrows his eyes, finding something and pulling on it. He lifts up the piece of wood, the clothes fall back, and I see another compartment underneath. Mason reaches in and pulls out what looks like a stack of cards. He turns them over and looks at them, but then he drops his hand back into the drawer, stuffing the cards back into the compartment. What? I prod, reaching in and trying to grab the stack away from him. It's nothing. He tries to replace the board. It's not what I'm looking for. But I force my way in and rip the stack out of his hand. Shooting him a joking little scowl, I turn the cards over and look at them. My chest caves. Oh my God. They're not cards, they're pictures. 4x6s by the looks of it, and I stare at each image, shuffling the cards one after another, my stomach churning. Lindsay Beck, a senior who graduated last year. Farah Corelli, a senior in my class this year. Abigail Dunst, another senior. Sylvie Lanquist, a junior. Georgia York, JD's older sister. He probably doesn't have any idea about that. Girl after girl, naked and in a variety of different poses. Some of them are selfies, some of them taken by someone else. And in one of them, Trey has a girl straddling him. His face holds a sleazy smile. Disgusted, I curl my fingers around the pictures. Brandy Matthews is naked and on her hands and knees, the camera catching the side of her face as Trey, I would assume, kneels behind her and takes the picture. My heart races, and I feel like it's going to jump out of my chest. I shuffle the next card and see Sylvie, her mouth open, and I drop my hands, looking away. Gross. My God. What's wrong with him? Who takes pictures of that many women, girls, committing sexual acts? Did they know he was doing it to all of them? And Sylvie's the sweetest kid. How long did he sweet-talk her to get what he wanted? I'm sorry, babe. I scoff, tossing the pics on the dresser. You think I don't know what he's about? Well, you are still going to prom with him, I shoot a look over to him, aggravated he keeps bringing that up. No, I'm not going to prom with Trey. Not anymore. If he treats girls he's able to get naked like that, how will he treat someone he can't get into bed? But I won't tell Mason that. He'll just gloat. I look down and see another picture in his hand an inch forward. What is that? He hoods his eyes, shaking his head like I need to leave it alone. I dart out and snatch the picture, holding it up in front of me. Lila is naked and wet, her hair soaked and sticking to her cheeks and neck, and she's posing against what looks like a shower wall, her arms over her head and her breasts on display. Her eyes taunt the camera, or whoever's behind it. Trey. If he's not the one with the camera, he still has the picture of her. But I'm not fooling myself. They fucked. And recently, too. Lila's wearing the bronze wrist cuff she bought when we shopped 3 Saturdays ago. I don't care about him, and I don't really like her. So why do I feel my eyes burning and my throat aching with a scream? I'm not jealous he got from her what he wasn't getting from me, and I'm not jealous they got off on each other. But why do they feel they could do it behind my back? I feel a warm hand touch my face. You know what she's about just as much as him, Mason says. This doesn't surprise you. I shake my head, blinking through the thick tears I can't stop from welling up. No, I barely whisper, staring at the photo. No, I'm not surprised. I just feel like shit for some reason. The whole time I thought I was winning. I thought I was on top. But behind my back, the people I thought I could handle were handling me. They think I'm stupid, after all. Someone they find easy to humiliate. Just like before. I knew Trey wasn't holding out for me, so I didn't care. But I did think I had Lila figured out. I thought I had her respect. What fun she must have had, standing next to me and knowing that she's getting a piece of someone she thinks I might want. Fat tears spill over, and I feel a weight on my shoulders. It's not Trey, it's not Lila, it's me. I don't know who I'm supposed to be. You know, I turned into this, I tell him, my voice cracking and an ache settling behind my eyes, because I was a kid and I thought there was something more. I traded friends I didn't think were good enough for friends who really aren't good enough. I blink long and hard, my wet lashes falling against my cheek. Even Misha gave up on me. Mason cups my face gently. I'm sure Misha has a reason, he says sadly. Because there's nothing wrong with you. There's so much wrong with